I'm going to be speaking here again, just what I call a one-time, one-off message here, not part of a series at all. It goes along with the Valentine's theme quite a bit, but also it goes along with the prophetic theme here. I really believe that what God is saying to us is He's really wanting there to be some hearts healed, some heart transplants take place, both in the physical realm and the spiritual realm as well. So I'm going to speak this morning here on God's wisdom for health. God's wisdom for health. I told you folks here that every January, I personally myself really felt convicted by God several years ago to do at least a 10-day fast and start the new year out there, trying to get my spirit man lined up even more so with hearing God's voice, what God is saying to the church, to us individually, to myself personally, our family and so forth, the nations we go to. And so I encourage you guys yourself to understand in God's word that fasting is part of what Jesus Christ himself did. There's a reason for that, not to be religious, not to be doing some works there to earn their ways into heaven, but because fasting actually brings benefit to our spiritual man. And I found in my own life, and when fasting takes place in January, especially for a long time like this, something always kind of breaks off my life that probably should be breaking off so that something new can take its place that is actually much better. Amen? I remember about 2 years ago on a fast like this, I actually lost my craving for drinking hot tea every single morning. Now, again, caffeine will not kill you in its right proportion, amen? But too much caffeine, they're finding out, really can be bad for your body. And so I'm not sure I had an addiction to actually caffeine through hot tea. I get my tea from all over the world, especially from Africa, so it's stronger than American tea is, but it tastes real good. And I'd always take and read my Bible and have a cup of hot tea right next to me there. And for some reason, the craving for that kind of fell off me. So I still do drink hot tea probably a couple of times a week, but I don't drink it every single morning by the cupful. I've not yet succumbed to a desire for coffee yet. And so that's something that for some reason, I have a great taste for coffee. I don't mind flavored coffee, Starbucks coffee, caramel apparetto, whatever coffee. But I don't really like just regular, straight, plain up coffee. And I do believe coffee can be addictive. Amen. And so God can somehow sometimes break some things off of us. Perhaps it's too much TV watching. Maybe it's kind of a bad temper. Maybe it's saying certain words we can't break out of our vocabulary that should come off our vocabulary. Maybe it's tailgating people. I mean, there's some kind of things here that God will, in the flesh, break some things off of us. I found doing that because the Bible says these kind only come out by fasting and by prayer. So there's some things that God will break off of us from that. So I encourage you guys this year, try to set a time for fasting. I also like what the late Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin said, the Holy Spirit told me years ago in my ministry, I'm not going to call you to 2, 3, 4, 5, and 10-day fasts. I'm going to call you to fasting one day a week for the rest of your life on a consistent basis. The Holy Spirit told me the same thing years ago, to fast every single Thursday, pretty much from sundown to sunup there. And then a prophetic word came to me in South Africa from a prophet in a church of 1,000 people. He called me out. One thing he said to me was, God's called you to a series of fasts, not just one big long fast, but to be able to be tuned in to hearing what God is saying there and hearing God's voice better. You're going to be going on a fast about one time a week or so forth. So it kind of confirmed to me that I was on the right track. But I want to encourage you guys, think about fasting as part of your Christian discipline. It only does good for your body and your soul and your spirit. Amen? Because your body actually needs a rest sometimes also from all the junk we put in our bodies, all the food and so forth. Our body needs some rest from that. It cleanses our body in many ways to go on a fast, sometimes even for a longer time. So Proverbs chapter 3, this message here is called God's Wisdom for Health. And it says here, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, for a long life, for peace, they will add to you. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart then from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We're going to look here at some requirements that the wisest man that God ever put on the face of the earth, named Solomon, wrote down here these two verses, or these four verses from Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm kind of sitting on the screen here as well, one at a time. The first thing it says here, number one, is, I'm going to write some of these things down in your notes as well, in your bulletin, if you have something to write with here. He says, first of all, remember God's law. God puts many things in the Bible, in the Old Testament as well, that are health issues that only do good for our bodies. Now, back in the Old Testament, they were forbidden there, of course, to eat shellfish. They were forbidden also to eat animals that had a didn't have a split hoof, like a rabbit or a squirrel, something like that, or a vulture, unclean animals. Now, God didn't do that because he wanted to be legalistic and put boundaries on them to try and control them. He knew those animals and those fish were not really very healthy to consume for human consumption. But somehow in the New Testament, Peter comes and sees the vision there. And because I think of technology, perhaps, God is now saying kill and eat. And so the main thing is today, find out what is good for your body, what's not so good for your body, and eat that in proportion to your faith, but also according to your common sense, because there's still some foods out there that aren't that great for your body to consume in big measure, okay? Number two, he says, keep his commandments. Number three, write those commandments down and actually wear them. That's why it's actually scriptural to get Christian t-shirts and wear them around the city, amen? So he says, get those things, write them down, and actually wear them around your wrist, around your neck, around your body as well, perhaps in t-shirts. Keep them before your eyes, one translation says. Number four, seek also knowledge and seek wisdom. Number five, respect God and his ways. Number six, stop evil practices. One of the most unhealthy things we can do in life is to do evil. Evil always is bad for our bodies, bad for our soul, and certainly, again, does shut off things from our spirit man that God wants to release from that. I really sense today that there's somebody in this congregation, at least one person here, that God's spoken to my heart that he does not want you to die this year. There's somebody in this congregation today that has got a heart issue, heart condition, at least one person here, that can really cause you either death or serious problems. That God is speaking today is the day he wants that heart healed. He wants that assignment of the enemy cut off. And he wants some things adjusted, perhaps even in your life, in natural, practical ways, so you will find this will be a year of blessing, not a year of cursing in your life. Amen? So take that to heart, because God is saying some things real plain this morning here about organs, about hearts, and about warning us that he wants some things taken note of this morning and prayed about at the end of the service here, that we're going to see you live out all of your days the way that God wants. So when you see here in Proverbs chapter 3, these two terms that seem like they're the same things being said in two different ways, it says length of days and it says long life. Now, it seemed like the same thing, but no, in the Greek, in the Hebrew language, these don't mean the same thing. A length of days in the Hebrew language actually means being productive. It means long, productive days. How many folks realize that some folks live a long time on a ventilator, but they don't live a productive life? They're not bearing a whole lot of fruit while they're on their backs trying to recuperate, and they're on all kind of medication, they're on all kind of whatever there. And God is saying it's productive days. And also, of course, long life does mean a productive life for a long time. So God has a plan for our lives to live a long time, but God also has a plan for our lives to live a long time productively, bearing fruit even in our old age. Amen? Okay, so it also goes on here in verses 9 and 10. It goes beyond that and talks about how our possessions also belong to God. We're going to read that in a moment. I want to read to you this kind of a humorous thing here about the toddler's rules of possession. The toddler's rules of possession. It goes like this. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you were playing with it, something and then put it down, it became mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Amen? That's the toddler's rules of possession. How many folks know someone who lives like that in their adult years? And God wants that kind of possession thing broken off of us. If it's in our hands, it's God's. If I saw it first, it's God's. If it's around me, it's God's. If it's broken, it's God's. And the good thing is God can fix it with some real help. Amen? So God promises blessings for those who will honor him and their possessions. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So God promises us length of days, long life, healthy, strong lives on the face of this earth. One man that's in his elderly years here said to his friend one day, I'm in the metallic stage of my life. I've got silver hair. I've got gold in my teeth and lead in my rear. This guy is living in the metallic age. Amen. And that's how we kind of get in the natural realm as time goes by. All this metal thing takes place in our lives. George Burns, the late George Burns, he said, when you get to be my age and you bend down to tie your shoes, you always pause and say, what else can I do while I'm down here? Folks can relate to that more and more that are getting into their twilight years of life. Amen. God promises favor. God promises high esteem. God promises health. God promises ample resources. God promises even joy to us because he says there'll be new wine flowing from your vats all the time. And wine always talks about joy, laughter, gladness, ease of life, things that are joyful in life. And God says all those things will be yours if you're following my ways. But there's also, God says, everything I promise you in the Bible except for salvation is conditional. There's always a part we play to fulfill the law of God, the commands of God, the will of God for our lives. Amen? And that's why, again, you know, back in the 1960s and 70s, especially in the rapture mentality of the church, I was raised in a church that believed very, very strongly that Christ would come back any single minute the next day, in the 70s especially. And so it seems like many believers, many Christians, got the mindset that because Christ is going to come back any minute, I'm going to go ahead and just eat all I can, enjoy all I can, do what I can here because eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I'm going to die or be raptured. Realizing now the Bible is showing us, God's showing us that God's economy and God's timing is not our timing. And a whole lot of years have gone by now. And many, many believers have now died prematurely because they did not take care of this temple called the temple of your body of the Holy Spirit in the right way. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 goes on and says this. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ears toward my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and they are also health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I was just listening to the radio on Christian TV or Christian radio on Friday. Didn't realize that Friday was actually Wear Red Day because Friday was actually Heart Day. And time and time again this entire weekend, including this morning's service, God is ramming inside of my heart very plainly, this is heart time. Today is Heart Day. I may not speak one more time this entire year on health and being healthy and doing things to help your heart out. So there's some reason that God is speaking to us this morning at Tree of Life Church about being diligent about our hearts because God is saying he wants to heal hearts, strengthen hearts, renew hearts, not just in the physical realm but also in the spiritual realm as well. God wants to do that. Amen? So this word heart has got two sides. Your heart is your emotions. It's your mind, your feelings, your will. But also your heart is that muscle that blood pumps through that muscle and actually keeps you alive. They're finding also in science more recently here that your heart actually has a brain. There's a brain in your heart. Now, praise God, our hearts are working 24/7 all the time, keeping us alive. We must take this heart seriously here. We must honor this heart and realize this heart was made by God fearfully and wonderfully made, but this heart can be abused. God wants our hearts to pump for a long time. Amen? Our hearts need good, clean valves, good, clean veins to feed good blood through the veins into our hearts. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Nothing stops a party faster. Nothing also is quicker to cause a stop in all of our routines than a bad heart who breaks out, a person breaks out in a heart attack. At a party, at a church event, whatever else, it always stops everything in its tracks. And God says, keep your heart in all diligence. They found that there are 10 to 15% better health results in folks that just simply go to church on Sunday mornings than those who don't. So being here actually is good for your heart. Praising God is good for your heart. Worshiping the Lord is good for your heart. Hearing God's word under the anointing is actually good for your heart. Being around believers is actually good for your heart. So right now you're actually giving heart health to yourself by being here on a Sunday morning. And God only does good things for us in all realms if we obey his commands, his word. Amen. The Hebrew word for health is the word marpay. M-A-R-P-A-Y is what it sounds like, marpay. The Hebrew word for health. Marpay actually means curative medicine. It means deliverance. It means healing remedy. It means sound and wholesome. It also actually means perfected. All these are words about the health that God talks about when he says to be strong and be in health, as your soul also is in health, as your soul prospers. So there's no doubt that things we eat and consume actually can affect our health. Amen. One thing I appreciate again about Laura Koch at Shoreline Christian Center is she's a doctor's daughter. She studied nutrition. She's a model of perfection of nutrition. I've heard stories about from Pastor Rob himself about how she gets up at 5 or 6 in the morning every day and jogs or on a treadmill. She will not take and eat what's called the three poisons at all, three white poisons. Those three white poisons, we understand, are part of the gospel over at Shoreline, and they're called white flour and white sugar and white salt. And so those three things here should be avoided in your diet as much as possible. Now, take those things in moderation. I take salt. I use salt. I try to use a thing called Turbinado, or I try to use a thing called Sucanat in place of sugar for my hot tea I drink. It tastes just as good as sugar does, as far as I'm concerned. Honey also is a good substitute for sugar. Amen. And also white flour. I try to find breads. One thing Laura Koch said, never buy bread that the first ingredient is enriched flour. That's actually refined, poisonous flour. Try to find whole wheat as the first ingredient in the bread you buy at H-E-B or wherever you go to buy bread at. It should be whole wheat because that's actually unrefined, unpoisoned, good for your body, good for your system. Those are all natural things you can learn about by watching Dr. Oz and things like that. We also understand that fried foods in excess can be bad for us. Amen? Those things can clog our arteries. They can give us high cholesterol and cause the blood flow to be decreased that goes into our heart. And the Bible says, keep your heart in all diligence. Some of you guys right now may have a hardening of arteries or a thickening of your arteries or something like that. I believe God wants to heal that even perhaps today. But then God also says, now beyond the healing, now you do your part to see that your veins and your heart stay strong beyond this healing in your life. Amen? There's a lot of things in our culture. We're so blessed in America to have so many varieties of food. But because our nation is so big and so vast, they must put things on the shelves that last sometimes for 2 to 3 months before they rot. Otherwise, they will rot because they're coming from California, from Maine, Massachusetts, all over the whole nation. So they must last a long time. And so be aware, we need to get some knowledge about things we're putting in our bodies that actually can be bad for us. One thing I've also found out, though, it seems like in the natural realm, is that exercise can totally wipe out and negate the bad fried foods you eat. Leon Montgomery, the farm guy in Missouri that I talk about time and time again, where I lived for 5 years of my life as a young boy, Leon and Marjorie every day ate fried bacon, fried eggs, homemade biscuits, homemade gravy, brought all this thing down, homemade fried bologna, fried Spam, fried whatever, fried hash browns, every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Marjorie's alive today at age 90, outlived 4 husbands. Leon only died because he smoked cigarettes, Camels unfiltered, as it's almost like a chain smoker, and he died of lung cancer in his 70s. But he had no organ problems at all. He was skinny as a rail, and his wife was as strong as an ox. Now, why is that? Because they took homemade milk cans and shook those things with their knees. They milked cows. They fed chickens. They took bales of hay with their arms. They actually loaded bales of hay that weighed about 55 or 60 pounds apiece all summer long. They exercised on a regular basis. So thus, guys like that, I think, can eat all they want to eat of fried foods, and nothing bad seems to happen to them, I think, okay? But I'm saying we don't do that in Austin, Texas, all right? You're not baling bales of hay. You're not feeding chickens. You're not shaking milk cans with your knees. And you're not taking and doing all the things that farmers perhaps are doing there. So that means watch your fried food intake. It can be bad for your body, amen? Because God wants you to live a long time. And a productive time, okay? So moving on. We're now going to shift and go from the physical aspect of health to the soulish aspect of health. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17, the other side of the coin for the heart. Proverbs 13, 17 says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. That's that word marpe again, brings health. Now, the word wicked here in the Greek language is the same root word we get the word wick from. And a wick is found where? A wick is found in a candle. Wicks are actually twisted pieces of thread, all twisted together, and then put through and dipped into wax to form a candle that can burn a long time. So a wick produces a slow burning fire, okay? So the word wicked comes from wick, actually means twisted, and it means a mixed signal. Wicked people are those who are twisted in their thinking and their speech, and they also bring out mixed signals. They're on top of the world one day, they're for you one day, against you the next day. They love you one day, mad at you the next day. They have a love-hate thing going inside their lives, their families, their homes. They're twisted, they're mixed, and there's also all kind of danger in the way they think and operate in their lives. And they're also their mouth, the Bible says, that it says a double-minded man will be unstable in all of his ways. And it says out of our mouth come sometimes cursings and blessings. And the Bible says it should not be this way, brethren, in the body of Christ. Amen. Our voice should be voices that speak out life and not death. Not being twisted, not being wicked, not being warped, not being double-sided at all. Notice it goes on here and says, notice a faithful ambassador brings health. Now, how many folks know that candles that wicks go through can bring good light and bring good romance and set good ambiance in our restaurants, houses, and so forth, but also candles can burn us. The same thing is true of wickedness. Wickedness can burn people in a slow way on a day-by-day consistent basis because candles burn slowly and produce light slowly and go out slowly. Wickedness can sometimes last a long time, but it says here, it says a faithful ambassador will bring health. An ambassador is a person who is assigned to represent a leader from another kingdom. Now, Paul called us Christ's ambassador. We are here upon this earth representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. And he's saying to us, your mouth must be controlled by the Holy Spirit to be an ambassador that lines up with God's kingdom and not the world's kingdom at all. Amen. And it says here again, an ambassador of Christ brings forth health upon the face of the earth. A faithful ambassador brings health upon the earth. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says this, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What it says here is, pray it before you say it. Amen. We as believers in 2014, let's covenant this year that my mouth, I'm not going to start speaking things out that I think in my brain. I'm going to first of all pray about it before I speak it to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my fellow believers and fellow workers at work. I'm going to try to think and pray before I speak. Amen. Did you realize again that the marrow of your bones, your marrow is where your blood is actually produced from? We can do a thing called blood marrow transplants for leukemia victims whose bodies are attacking themselves. And many times these victims of leukemia or diseases can actually be totally healed and transformed by healthy marrow coming into the marrow of their bodies that was diseased. The Bible says the life is in the blood, and the blood's produced by the marrow, and that's why they made sure that Jesus Christ himself did not have one bone of his body broken on the cross, because the life is in the blood. Not one bone was broken of Jesus Christ. He is the life, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no life released from him at all upon the cross. Pleasantness in the Hebrew language actually means goodness, charm, and loveliness. These kinds of words will bring benefit and life to our soul and to our flesh. And we have two dogs in our house that are small dogs. One dog should be alive, the other one's kind of iffy. But dogs are just like human beings. They're under the curse, under the fall, and they act like it many times as they get older. And these two dogs that are here, though, I found as the years have gone by, if I yell at them or call them names or actually scowl at them, they actually will take and tuck their tail between their legs and actually will look sad, look depressed, and you can tell they feel bad about it. But if I say their name or give them a compliment, they will perk up, their eyes get bright, and they will start wagging their tails every single time. God is showing us in nature. Nature responds to pleasant words that are charming and lovely and of a good report. Amen? But nature also responds in a negative way even to bad words, harsh words, and names being called to people. I told the church here years ago in my farm days back in Missouri when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I made a mistake and got right in the face of a banty rooster in the farm there. And my parents were close to me there. And I began to call the rooster names. I said, "You stupid, dumb, idiot bird. You are ugly." This is just joking around. This banty rooster's whole neck puffed out. His wings went back, and he lunged at me. He began chasing me. I couldn't believe it. By the grace of God, I ran real fast, outran the banty rooster. My parents are laughing their heads off, and they're saying, "Just kick him, just kick him." Oh, yeah, this thing's got spurs like about this long here. I'm just going to kick him, yeah. So by the grace of God, they got a hold of that rooster. They tackled him somehow. I got him off my face, off my case there. But I realized there that even animals, animal kingdom, understands being called names, and they don't like it. They don't. Amen? Well, how much more is true about human beings made in God's image who need pleasant words, kind words, complimentary words out of our mouths, charming words spoken to them, not just Valentine's Day, but every day of the week. Amen? We need to be giving compliments to folks around us more and more. One thing we need to be aware of is that America is perhaps the best nation in the entire world to be at in case of medical emergencies. Probably the best place in the whole world is to be right here in the U.S. of A. You'll be in an ambulance, in an emergency room in a matter of minutes most of the time when bad things take place in your body. You'll be airlifted by helicopters, whatever else. There'll be paramedics, firemen on the spot very quickly here in most places. We are blessed to have that in America. But also the fact is, most medical doctors in our nation admit they have little or no nutritional teaching at all in their repertoire. They don't know one thing about nutrition or about what's good for your body. That's why after you guys to research things with Dr. Oz, with Christian nutritionists, with Dr. Laura Koch, find people that know about nutrition, read about that, and gain some knowledge on that, and feed your body some things that's good for your bodies and not just bad. Amen? I'll take it to heart. Realize that and do that as research also yourselves. The wise thing for us to do is not only depend upon our medical doctors, but also look to the Word of God and the knowledge of nutritionists for how to maintain this fearfully and wonderfully made body that God has given us, made in His image and His likeness. God has put these folks in America on purpose to be a blessing to folks that are believers in Jesus Christ. He knows we're made of body and soul and spirit, and our body sometimes needs instructions. Amen? Praise God again. I'm thanking God for even Cheryl. You can see how Cheryl here looks different now than she even looked about 6-7 months ago. Holy Spirit talked to her about cutting down just portions, eating less perhaps. And she's actually on the treadmill now. She's running, exercising here. I'm going to be there one day myself with her when she's finished on the treadmill. Exercise is coming more so for me in the warm weather. I'm more of an outside person here. But God's doing good things in her body, my body, our lives together here, because we're taking some things to heart, not just in nutrition, but also even in exercise. It's good to get up, to move around, get some endorphins going there, and understand that our soul, our mind, now she's ministered to by even exercise and by blood pumping. It helps our heart out. Our heart gets stronger. Our heart is more pure, is more right when things take place to exercise and not just have nutrition. I also want to say one more thing here before we close in prayer in a moment, and that is when you also receive prescription drugs, I encourage you guys, get on the internet and find out the side effects of the medication you take. We had a very, very knowledgeable doctor prescribe to a person we know a medication for migraine headaches. Now, the migraine headaches were gone, but then comes 30 pounds of weight loss and a colonoscopy about 3 months later. The side effects were those very things. If you look on the internet, it says this drug may produce massive weight loss and severe stomach problems. So we see this thing on TV about what different drugs, medications there, how they'll cure our throats, they'll cure our heads, cure our high blood pressure there. But it says it may bring dizziness, vomiting, diarrhea, may bring bubonic plague, could bring cancer, could bring plagues of flies, could bring all manner of blindness, loss of hearing, loss of teeth, loss of eyesight, hair loss, leg loss, arm loss, finger loss, but no more migraine headache. Praise God. We don't realize that all these guys are also making money off these medications, and they don't always do a lot of research on what it's going to do to you maybe in a side effect. So I'm saying, please get on Google, get on your computers, and see what the side effects might be about any new medication you take. Because we are a pill-popping society that needs to be doing some research. Amen? It's James of Macure to help me out. James, please help me out on the platform. I'm going to say the Word of God has good side effects only for us. Take your Gospels. Amen? Take the Word of God. Take Scriptures. Hear what God says about your disease, your sickness, your health, your speech, what you voice out of your mouth there, because God only brings good side effects to us, things like joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control, righteousness. All these things are side effects of taking God's Word and using God's Word and speaking God's Word and memorizing God's Word in your life. There's a danger this morning in living by the motto that says, I thought it, so I must say it. Now, I'm saying if you think it, stop and pray about it. And pray it before you say it. Because part of bad health for you and others around you is words of death coming out of your mouth. Guard your heart, your soul, your mind with all diligence. Amen? Out of it comes the issues of life. I want to end up on a spiritual aspect this morning, this pre-Valentine Sunday morning. God is talking to us today about angels being around us. Organs being in their hands, and I praise God today that already people, I believe, are being healed, receiving new organs, receiving healing and restoration to faulty organs. But I really sense also today there may be people in this congregation who have had a history, perhaps, of heart problems, heart conditions, a weakened heart. Maybe you're even having symptoms right now of heart attacks or a need for heart stents or things may taking place medically because you're sensing things are happening in your body. God is saying today that He wants you to live a long life, but also live a productive life. It's not God's desire to see you on a ventilator in an oxygen tent for 10 years of your life, barely getting by, barely strumming along. God says live long, but also live long well, and live long healthy, and live a long life strongly, productively, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Why don't you stand to your feet? So I'm going to ask our prayer partners that are here again today to go ahead and begin to come back to the front. I want all those that are here in this congregation who feel or know that you have a heart condition that you've been dealing with this year, years past, right now, today perhaps. Make your way to your seats now if you do that, please. Come to the front because God's anointing is still here right now to restore organs, to restore heart conditions, to give us healthy hearts, strong hearts. If you're like that today and need prayer today for your hearts to be stronger, be healed, be made whole and right, please come to the front. Stand in front of a prayer partner here. We as a congregation, if you could give us again about 5 minutes. Let's reach our hands, our faith out towards these folks in a moment that are coming to the front for prayer. Let's believe that God will touch them. God will heal them. God restores wholeness and soundness in their hearts once again. And before we pray for these folks right now also, there's people in the congregation who are totally blind to what your heart's going through right now. You're not up here because you don't feel anything, you don't sense anything, but God sees your heart's messed up. God sees your arteries are getting clogged. God sees there's high cholesterol happening in your veins right now. I want to pray for all the congregation together and ask the Holy Spirit to touch people today that may not even know what is happening in your hearts, but God knows. And God wants to heal. Let's pray for ourselves. Father God, I praise you and thank you, O God, for this congregation today, this pre-Valentine's Day service. You've given us, O God, a divine warning, a divine mandate that you are the God who has today in store for us new hearts, healing power, miracle-working strength, O God, in our bodies. Right now, we place our hands on our hearts. We command our hearts to beat. We command our hearts to function. We command every artery, every ventricle, every vein of our body be opened up in the name of Jesus. Every clog to go, all the cholesterol to dissolve and leave us. There'll be no blood clots. There'll be no malfunctions. There'll be no heart attacks upon this congregation this year in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are strong. Our hearts are right. Our hearts are sound and our hearts are functioning at 100% in the name of Jesus. May our hearts squeeze, O God, stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. And I also pray, God, bring us conviction, Holy Spirit, if we're doing nothing to keep our hearts strong. Help us find disciplines, O God, to exercise, to eat right, to think on things that are pure, just, and lovely, and of a good report, to speak those things that are righteous and just, complimentary, and full of life. Let us, O God, cut off evil communications out of our mouth that would bring to us stress and bring to us, O God, pain and bring to us even ill health. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, God, and thank you right now that preemptive things are being done to stop heart attacks and to cause weak hearts to be made strong this day in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. I praise you, God. Break forth, O God, upon this people, Lord, this day in Jesus' name. Let's pray for these folks up here. Let's ask God to touch them, heal their hearts, strengthen their hearts. Praise you, God. Yes.